Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm all kinds of giddy over the Stanley Cup final matchup that we have now. And I know for Tampa Bay Lightning fans, this one hurts. It hurts for them. It hurts for the franchise. It's a team that won three consecutive games and then had two shots to close out the East Finals and couldn't do it and lost Game 7 on its own ice. And how about this? Got shut out. The NHL's top goal-scoring team of the season got shut out in the last two games. And that's amazing. They had so many opportunities in Game 7 and just could not break through. And you kind of wonder if there had been a goal, one of those early opportunities had gone in past Braden Holtby. In fact, there was one where I was listening to Westwood One for part of this game, and the play-by-play team thought that Tampa had equaled the score, actually called it a goal, and then realized that Braden Holtby had rescued it in the crease and had prevented it from being a goal. I mean, there was another one later in the game where Holtby actually let the puck go through his legs. He was down on the ice on his knees. Lets the puck go through his legs only to catch it with the back of his skates. Almost like, he kind of closed his skates behind him. And the puck is in between his ankles and only is prevented from going through and across the goal line by his skates. That he closed at just the right time. There were some unbelievable moments and saves from Braden Holtby. But to think about the Lightning and their perspective and how they had such star power. Such scoring power and prowess and could not get one to go through. I mean, Holtby did his impression of a Marvel superhero, and he deserves it and the Capitals deserve it. But there's the thrill of victory and then there's the agony of defeat for the Lightning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I'd love to get your initial reaction to Golden Knights and Capitals, two teams, as one of our callers said earlier, coming from opposite ends of the spectrum because neither has won a Stanley Cup. But one franchise is in its first season as a team, and the other has waited 43 years now for another chance. So this is kind of cool. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Who am I kidding? It's not kind of cool. It's awesome. And then also on our Facebook page, there's a spot up there, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So this is the first time we'll be talking about basketball. We're an hour and 5 minutes into this show. And because it was a Game 7 and because it was a closeout affair for a spot at the championship round, that takes precedent. But we do need to talk about the Celtics and the Cavaliers. Oh, briefly, just before I get started on basketball, before I lace up the high tops and run full court, I actually tweeted something that I thought was pretty simple, and yet you all responded in droves. And so I think I'll throw it out here on the show, too, because some of your answers were really creative over the last, let's see if I can do some quick math. Over the last 8 hours. So right as the puck was dropping on Capitals and Bolts, I tweeted, better two-word phrase in sports than Game 7. ? Go, as in ready, set, go. And I got back from, I don't know what I was doing. I was in the house and I was listening to Westwood One for a little bit to start the game. And I got back to my Twitter and was like, what? You all had blown up my Twitter. And that was just on social media. It actually wasn't on the show. So I thought it'd be fun to throw it out there. Yeah. So better two word phrases in sports than Game 7. The one that came to mind for me, now this is, I would think, right up there with Game 7, because I don't know, there's not much better than a Game 7. The anticipation, the excitement, the tension, obviously the intensity. But how about walk-off? That might be another two-word phrase that rivals Game 7. So anyway, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can weigh in on Facebook. A better two-word phrase in sports than Game 7. Ready, set, go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, no.
Oh yes. No, that's not a better two-word phrase. Oh, no. However, it is a two-word phrase. Some joker tweeted me swimsuit issue, to which I did not respond, of course, because that's not about sports. But yeah, all kinds of funny answers that made me laugh, but also some good ones that I hadn't thought about just in the, you know, the second that I had this brilliant tweet. Just kidding. I don't know how many of my tweets are actually brilliant. And it's sports, right? So how brilliant can it be? It's brilliant all by itself. We tend to mess it up when we talk about it over and over and hype it up and analyze it everything every way to Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, that would be Game 7 between the Cavaliers and the Celtics. Now, I don't know if we get there, because here are the Celtics in, let's be honest, the exact same position the Tampa Bay Lightning were in, right? They have now a 3-2 lead. They've got two shots to close this out, but Game 6 is on the road. Now, here's a huge piece of this puzzle, and we've talked about it already in this series. The Celtics have not lost at home in these playoffs. They're 10-0 at home so far in these playoffs. But they're 1-6 on the road, I believe. They've got a single road victory. So something's got to give. Something's got to give. If the Cavaliers are going to advance to their fourth straight NBA Finals, if LeBron James is going to make it to his eighth straight NBA Finals.
Because I'm the best player in the world.
Uh-huh. But you're also tired. If the Celtics are going to get back to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2010, well, we'll see. Can they do it in a Game 6, or will they be hosting a Game 7 on Sunday?
Be careful what you ask for.
It was a lot of fun to hear Grandy and Max as part of this broadcast, because here's the deal. The Celtics couldn't hit the broadside of the barn for most of this game. Did you happen to see the final shooting percentage for the Celts? It was 36.5%. Well below, in fact, 5 percentage points below what the Cavaliers shot. And yet the Cavs only put 83 points on the board. The major factor in the offense that gave the Celtics the edge, well, two things. They were 13 of 39 from downtown, so they hit 13 triples. And they hit them in bursts, which seemed to be like slaps in the face to the Cavaliers. The Cavs would get closer, and the Celtics would hit a couple of threes, and the Cavaliers just couldn't generate more than one run. I think the second quarter run that took place after the altercation with Larry Nance and Marcus Morris, and then Terry Rozier getting involved, if you remember that, Morris blocks a shot by Larry Nance under the hoop. Nance then hits the ground and kind of falls into the camera aisle there behind the baseline. And Morris stands over him and chirps at him. Now, we couldn't get an angle where it was possible to read lips. But Morris is extremely intense, and there are times when he taunts his opponents. There are times when he gets in their face, whether he's yelling, he's screaming, or he's actually speaking some words. So he's standing over Larry Nance, who's laying on the floor behind the baseline on the court, and he yells something. And as he turns his back to walk away, Nance gets up and bum rushes him and shoves him from behind. So when he does that, then of course the scrumble breaks out. And what does Terry do? Terry then shoves Larry Nance in retaliation. So after about 15 minutes of the refs going through all of this, they assess 3 technicals. Because 2 of them are on the Celtics, it turns out that it's the Cavs who are on the free throw line who get the one free throw from Kyle Korver. But that sparked a run. I don't know that it shook up the Celtics, but it did give a little energy and a lift to the Cavaliers.
This is a real Donnybrook.
But it was short-lived. Here's the thing that should really stand out to you about this game. In the first quarter, the only Cavaliers to hit shots were Kevin Love and LeBron James. And in fact, for most of the first half, again, there was this little stretch where you got, oh, you got a bucket from Larry Nance Jr. And then you got a bucket from Jordan Clarkson, right? I mean, there were little bursts here and there where there were buckets from other Cavaliers. But it was again, really short-lived that there was any offensive production outside of LeBron and then K-Love early. Love faded late. And so it was really LeBron. And it just... What have we said over and over? What have I said to you over and over? This is an age of the NBA where you cannot win with one superstar, not even if the superstar is LeBron James. It just doesn't work that way. And so the Cavaliers did not get enough offensive production. As bad as the Celtics were, especially in the fourth quarter, I don't know if they were tight. I don't know if they were fatigued. I'm not exactly sure what it was. Their defense was there. They had, oh my gosh, big steal after big steal. They end up actually with 10 steals. They take advantage of the 15 Cavs turnovers. They hold LeBron to just 2 fourth quarter points. Though again, that may have been more that LeBron was exhausted. But they challenged everything. That's why the Celtics won this game. They challenged everything defensively. And so when their offense disappeared for long stretches of time, they were able to withstand it. There was a juncture in the fourth quarter where, if I'm not mistaken, the Cavaliers had 3 or 4 possessions in which they could have trimmed the lead from 12. The Celtics could not hit a shot, and the Cavaliers kept trying and trying and trying and trying. And if they had taken advantage of those multiple possessions in a row in the fourth quarter, it would have been a single-digit deficit, but they just couldn't do it. And so there's a lot of factors here. Yes, the fatigue for sure. Yes, the fact that the Cavs are only 3-5 on the road in the postseason. The Celtics played defense. They were spurred on by an incredible, intense crowd at the Garden. But again, this is the second game in a row in which the Celtics have shot really poorly. It wasn't their offense. It was their defense, and it was the communication, and it was the aggressiveness that they brought to the table and really fighting through those stretches. So we'll let you hear some of the highlights and then also the post-game reaction in which LeBron admits that he is tired and that everybody's kind of tired. That's not what you want going into game number 6. Of course, they will have the fans behind them at the queue. And why was tonight such a letdown? That's the word, the phrase from Ty Lue. That's definitely not a better 2-word phrase in sports than game 7. Letdown does not qualify. Anyway, it's kind of a fun little game that so many of you responded to earlier on Twitter. So I'll put it out there again on the show. The better two-word phrases in sports than game 7. What are they? Because I'm pretty sure game 7 needs to be in the top 2. Maybe I'll give you the top 3, but what are they? A-Law Radio, or you can find me on Twitter. On Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, because we're chugging through the weekend, chugging to the weekend. Seriously, what just happened? My whole entire show just went off the rails. Your host needs to focus. Get focused, Amy. Okay, so let's start that again. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On Facebook, it's named after the show. We are chugging to the weekend through the overnight. Maybe I'm a little bit too hyped about the Game 7 that we got on the ice and also about the way these NBA series are playing out now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm breathing. I'm going to keep breathing on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rozier, offensive end, lob. Horford throws it down with 2 hands, and finally, a 2-minute run of game 5 in the fourth quarter that was scoreless ends with a thunderous slam from Al Horford, relief from the 18,624, and a timeout from Ty Lue. Rozier, stop and start on Hill. Moves to his left, draws a double team. Kick out Horford, 3 in the air. Got it!
Ooh, Big Al! That's money time.
When it matters most, 15 and 12 for Al Horford here in game 5. Celtics by 17.
At home, one of the big things is I truly believe it's our fans. It's, you know, I feel like our guys feed off of them. and really just drives us as a group.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Al Horford with 15 and 12. You hear Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network. A couple of big buckets for him in the fourth quarter when points were hard to come by. In fact, the Celtics managed just 20 points in the fourth quarter, but their defense was there when they needed it. A ton of steals, and they take advantage of turnovers. There are a lot of fast breaks. Now, they did miss some easy bunnies on fast breaks, but they continue to challenge defensively, and Al Horford's a big part of that. And I've mentioned it over and over during this postseason because people focus on the young guys that are in this Celtics starting lineup, and that is true. You're talking about a Jaylen Brown who's 21 and a rookie in Jason Tatum, who just had his ninth 20-point playoff game, his first season in the NBA, and he's already had nine games in which he's put up at least 20 points. And Al Horford has more playoff experience than the rest of the Celtics starting lineup put together. And so he really sets the tone for them, and he's hard-nosed, and he's blue-collar, and he doesn't care about the flash. He does the dirty work if that's what's required, but he does provide the leadership as well. And so he says the fans play a huge role in the way this team plays at home, and that's true. However, this group, if they don't want to have to be in a situation where it's a game seven, yes, it would be in Boston, but they want to close it out, they're going to need to grow up a little bit for game six, because I can not fathom that LeBron James might be tired again on Friday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love your tweets about the best two-word phrase in sports. I'm going with Game 7. The walk-off's a close second for me, but your tweets are awesome. A-Law Radio. I promise I'll read some of those as we get through the rest of this hour. And then also on our Facebook page, you're weighing in about the Stanley Cup Final between two teams that have never won the Cup. Although Alex Ovechkin is not superstitious because he not only picked up the Prince of Wales trophy, but he skated around with it. I thought there was a slight hesitation before he touched the hardware, but screw it. So both Derek Engelin as well as Alex Ovechkin, who've got their teams into the Stanley Cup Final, decided we're breaking with convention and superstition, and we are not only touching these conference finals trophies, but we're skating around with them. So screw superstition. That's a good phrase right there. All right, so you hear a little bit about the Celtics and from Al Horford and what it meant for them to go 10-0 now in the postseason and take a 3-2 lead. By the way, here's a nerd alert about NBA playoff series. When they're tied at 2-2, the winner of Game 5 goes on to grab the series to advance 83% of the time. Nerd alert! Now, I don't believe much in coinkydink, but the Cavaliers had 83 points, which isn't enough. And now the Celtics have an 83% chance of advancing to the NBA Finals or advancing to the next round based on this Game 5 victory. So what went wrong? I think it would have been a little more surprising to hear LeBron James say he was tired if it had been the first time these playoffs, but it actually wasn't. Remember, he talked about it after the Pacers series, too, about how tired he was, and I get that. The fact is that he has played to the very end of each of the last seven NBA seasons. That's a lot of basketball. It's a lot of pounding. But also consider that he has started and absorbed a ton of minutes in every single game this year. It's the first time in his career that he has not missed a game. And he's carried his team a lot. And tonight was another one of those times.
But I think everybody at this point is tired, or worn down or whatever the case may be. But still trying to make plays to help our team win, put us in position to win. And we had moments, we had an opportunity, but we didn't make enough plays.
And so you can hear the fatigue in his voice, though also the disappointment. He certainly, down the stretch, struggled to come up with the energy. You could see that. But it was also, I don't want, easy is the wrong word. It was easier. It was more of a focused defensive game plan for the Celtics because it was only LeBron James who was scoring. Now, Kevin Love did it at 14 points, but a lot of his work was done early. But LeBron also had tired legs, you could tell, in the three-point shots. He did shoot 50% from the floor, and he got to the hoop, but not nearly as much in the second half, in the fourth quarter, and he had six turnovers. He finishes up with 26 points and 10 rebounds and 5 assists. So what went wrong then? Why in the world did the Cavaliers not get the production from everywhere else? Coach Ty Lue, he was pretty pointed in his comments afterwards.
I'm surprised we haven't played well, yes. I thought tonight we got a lot of open shots that we didn't capitalize on. Then I thought we had a chance to get some easy baskets in transition that we didn't capitalize on. We turned the basketball over, and they was able to get out and get something after we turned it over. So I just didn't think we played well tonight at all. Coming off the two home games that we had, and, you know, we played well. I thought our physicality was great. Defensively, we were good. And offensively, we moved around, we moved bodies, and we made shots. And tonight, you know, I thought defensively we were okay, but offensively we just couldn't make shots and we didn't make the right play.
Yeah, the Cavaliers were able to harass the Celtics enough on offense. And, I mean, Celtics missed a bunch of easy bunnies too, but you got to give credit to the Cavaliers because they fought hard on defense. But they couldn't come up with the runs in the second half when they needed to. They couldn't string together a run like they had in the second quarter when they challenged following the Larry Nance, Terry Rozier shoves and the Marcus Morris taunting. But we've seen this pendulum swing in the East Finals, right? I mean, it's been this way. We've had blowouts for each team on their own court. And so here we go. The scene shifts. I know. I'm sorry. It's just I'm the only one who finds myself funny. Feel free to laugh at me, though. The scene. Actually, I read a review of your younger self in the new movie there, Han Solo. I was just reading a review not that long ago. The scene shifts. I got to be careful. I don't say the other word that doesn't sound like, well, that kind of sounds like shifts, but is missing a letter, because that could also happen tonight. And then Isaac would have to use the dump button and I could be in danger of getting fined and losing my job. You know, anyway, they go back to Cleveland. Maybe I should have just said that. They go back to Cleveland on a Friday night. So plans on a Friday night better revolve around basketball, hoops fans.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The Cavs with a puck toward Christian Juice. Bounced up on him. If he'd gotten it at the blue line, there was nobody in front of him. Tampa pinching a little bit. Now the puck ahead to Burakovsky. Andre coming down the middle. A shot, he scores! Andre Burakovsky does it again! He got behind the defense, and he kept it low. 3:29 to go in the second, and you can see Nevada from here. It's 3-0 Washington!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can see Nevada from here. That is such a brilliant call from John Walton on the Capitals Radio Network. Game 7. Let it soak in. Simmer. Let it simmer. Game 7. Oh, my goodness. I'm hoping we get a couple from the East. Well, I mean, as a Celtics fan since age 13, I don't know how much the sports fan part of me, the goofy girl who's been gaga over the Celtics and Larry Bird from the time that I was 16 years old. I don't know if that part of me wants a game 7, but for the good of the business and just the drama of it, even if it would mean I'd be a nervous wreck. None of that matters once I get in studio, but yeah, when I'm outside the studio, do I want a game 7? Yes. Yes, I do. Game 7 between the Celtics and the Cavaliers. And we also have the potential for a game 7 between the Warriors and the Rockets, of course, because that series is tied. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So I kind of think that game 7 is the best two-word phrase in sports. And the way I said it last night was the best two words in sports. But a lot of you have sent me your tweets, and many of them across the country are Browns win, Tigers win, Patriots win, Celtics win. So those I'm kind of eliminating, okay, because that doesn't apply to all of us. It only applies to a specific fan base. But some of you have come up with really good ones, which I like. Trey says, better two-word phrase in sports than game seven, knockout. Okay. Isaac, do you agree? What do you think? Game seven, Isaac's our violent sports fan, our violent sports expert. Do you think knockout or game seven?
Knockout.
Of course you do. So Trey on Twitter, you've got Isaac on your side. Knockout. Chris, I like this one on Twitter. Opening day is my number one. That's good because opening day applies to pretty much any sport. And it's this idea that the hope is brand new and that you're not eliminated from playoff contention. There are so many possibilities, endless possibilities on opening day. But Chris goes on to say game seven is a close second. John says Grand Slam or Super Bowl champions. Uh-huh. Joshua thinks holy cow is a better two-word phrase in sports. I don't remember who said, this was like a long time ago, hours ago, someone sent me a tweet that said, whoa, Nelly, which that one's pretty sweet too. It's iconic as a matter of fact. So yeah, best two-word phrase in sports. Lance said one putt. Yeah, that's true for anyone who's a golfer. Zach says Deflategate. No, never, ever again.
As far as I know, I don't know everything.
I don't know things. Charles says overtime, but let's be honest, Charles, you can't make overtime two words, and you certainly can't hyphenate it and hope that it's two words. Derek says, whoa, Nelly. So what do you guys think? Two word phrases in sports that get your blood pumping.
World champions.
There you go. Oh, that's a good one too. Ah.
Once again, the Patriots are world champions.
I just rolled my eyes. That is Isaac's favorite team. Although I think he kind of jumped off that bandwagon. His favorite two-word phrase in sports right now might be Jared Goff.
Or go Eagles.
Or is it really Brad close. Stevens? Wait, Eagles?
Really close. Fake fan.
That is you. Bandwagon. Oh, that's one word. Bandwagon jumper. That's you. Oh, speaking of your favorite coach, though, because I know you're a big Brad Stevens fan, the best quote of the night in sports, and there's a lot of really good stuff coming out of the Capitals locker room and certainly the Celtics, but also the honesty of the Cavaliers and Ty Lue and LeBron James. But the gem comes from Brad Stevens about the way the Celtics played defensively on Wednesday night.
Our guys have hung their hat on the defensive end of the floor. And it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of teamness. We were not the connected team in Cleveland. That bothered us all, I think. And we wanted to come out and defend well.
Teamness?
Takes a lot of teamness.
Wait, is that one word or two? Okay, in all of my years covering sports, now, I mean, this is a chick. I screw up words all the time. So I'm not laughing at Brad. I'm laughing at the word. I just screwed up sheen shift or whatever it is that I said before. What did I say during college basketball season? Your something about your bracket. Your
brasted bucket?
Yeah, your brasted bucket. That's the best two-word phrase in sports right there. Your brasted bucket. So I'm not laughing at Brad. I'm laughing at the teamness because in my 20 years doing this, I've never heard teamness before.
It takes a lot of teamness.
It reminded me too much of Loch Ness, like Loch Ness Monster. Your teamness. And then as I laughed out loud in the newsroom at it, what did the peanut gallery piped up? Isaac was like, he can say whatever he wants. Defending his boy, Brad.
Young Bill Belichick.
He's got a more visible personality. Brad does. Coach Belichick obviously has a personality, but he chooses to keep it under a hoodie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Chris, who's in Baltimore. Chris, welcome to After Hours. Hi, Chris. Oh, nope. Chris is definitely doing the deep breathing. He has fallen asleep. The celebration of the Capitals making the Stanley Cup final wore him out. Oh, or he's like LeBron. He's just tired at this point. Teamness. Chris, we will will hold down the fort for you. Sorry. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. Kelly says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, sudden death. But then the rest of the tweet I really don't get. Maybe someone can decipher this for me. He says, sudden death, which is what I always wish these playoffs would go to, but too many greedy owners and money.
Wow, that took a turn.
Do greedy owners and money prevent sudden death? We didn't actually get any sudden death in the conference finals. I don't think.
Or extend it.
What do the greedy owners have to do with sudden death? Is he suggesting that they're rigged?
I think that's the implication.
He's been hanging out with my mom. Dave says free tickets. Okay, it's not all about you. We're talking about the two words in sports that appeal to every, although I guess free tickets kind of do, appeal to every fan. Barr says, we win. All right, that's kind of lame-o. Yeah, everyone wants to win, but that's not as exciting. That happens all the time. Unless you're the Browns. Even if the team is really bad, I mean, it happens so often that it's just not special. It's not, you know, it's not a phrase that gets your blood pumping. It's, yeah. Let's see. Britt comes up with these. No hitter, grand slam, walk off. Ooh, and I love this one. Pick six, baby. Pick six. Absolutely. The best two-word phrase in sports.
They're going to see a freak-a-leak.
Freak-a-leak is not two words, Gronk, so don't even try it. Rob says perfect game. That's a good one, too. Wait, did I just read that from? No, I didn't. So Britt and Rob both go in baseball but didn't come up with the same ones. Jeffrey says roll tide. Okay, well, for a large portion of college football fans, that incites one of two reactions. Another tweet. Oh my, Dick Enberg. Oh yeah, yeah. That's iconic as well. Right up there with Whoa Nelly. Let's see. I'm quickly scanning through my tweets.
Adios, pelota!
Yes, that's awesome. So good, so good. Jim says WrestleMania. I mean, there's a lot of people that would say that, too.
One word.
Oh, and I like this one from another Jim. Oh, my gosh. Something's happened to me. Cinderella story. That's a good one in sports, too. Jerry says, play ball. And then Dave, bloody sock. Which, of course, doesn't appeal to the entire nation of sports fans, but maybe it does come. It does incite a few memories. 855-212-4227. Scott is listening in Pittsburgh. Scott, welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, good morning. Full disclosure, Amy, I'm a Pens fan.
Well, you didn't have to tell me that. I already know where this is going.
I hate the Capitals, but congratulations to them. They showed a lot of resolve in, you know, losing the first two games to Columbus and the first one to Pittsburgh and battling back. But I'll tell you what, I just don't think they're going to get by Vegas, because if you look at it, I think they played, including overtime periods, they played eight more games in this the playoffs here, and I just think that's going to catch up with them. And plus, vive LaFleur.
Yeah, Marc-Andre has been great. And Braden Holtby has too, though. I mean, to finish up this series with back-to-back shutouts, his first two of the entire season, he's playing his best hockey too. I will say this. I agree with you about the fatigue, and we were just talking about it with LeBron James. That could be a factor, though the next series doesn't start until Monday. So here we are. They've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. One of those will be a travel day, but it's a little easier to go East Coast to West Coast, right? So that's going to help. That's going to give give them some fresh legs. But here's the part that I feel like may have the Caps in a better position. Yes, many of the Knights are veterans who have been in this situation before, like Marc-Andre, even like James Neal, who last year was part of the Nashville Predators. They've got guys who have been deep in the postseason before. But what they haven't been is really challenged in this particular postseason as a group. The Capitals have faced a ton of adversity and have fought through it. Remember, they dropped the first two games in Columbus. In fact, that's when they made the goalie change. Braden Holtby didn't start this postseason. Then they lose three in a row to Tampa Bay, and they face elimination twice in game 6 and 7. So that, to me, gives them an edge because they've already had their backs against the wall and have had to fight back, whereas it's not been that way for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you said. But I also think that can wear on you going to that sudden death, that many times, because you really have to get up for that. My two word, have you had walk-off yet or a title fight?
Oh, no, title fight's a good one. That's new. I like it.
All right, thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate you calling from Pittsburgh with your full disclosure. 855-212-4227. Let's quick get to Carlos, who's in Irving, Texas. Carlos, we'll give you about a minute and 15 seconds. Go.
Good morning, Amy. Definitely want to talk about LeBron because he's the leader. Why can't you rally these gentlemen to, I guess, overcome adversity, show some resiliency, and execute it and just show all these naysayers that he is as good as he is. But until then, my player comparison is Scottie Pippen. Hey, Al Horford, he's looking like the big fundamental, looking like Tim Duncan, staying strong and coming hard and punching the bully right in the mouth. Anyways, y'all have a great day. And my two words, my two words is game time.
I like it. Everyone gets excited about game time. Carlos, thanks so much for calling from Irving, Texas. He mentions the word naysayers about LeBron. And I don't know how there can be any left. You don't have to like him. I don't know how you can be a naysayer. There's no way to diminish what LeBron has accomplished in his NBA career. You don't have to think that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You don't have to think he's better than Michael Jordan. You don't have to think he's the best ever, whatever, whatever. But you can't deny what he has done for both the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise as well as the Miami Heat. You can't deny his legacy. You can't deny the records. You can't deny the longevity and the fact that he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest players of all time. So naysayers doesn't really apply. Jealousy applies in this case. It's the same as, say, a Tom Brady, right? People get tired of hearing about him, or they just wish he would go away because he's constantly beating their teams. But there's no way you can deny or be a naysayer when it comes to Tom Brady because his legacy is unchallenged. It's really more about just, hey, I'm tired of hearing about LeBron. I'm jealous because my team doesn't have LeBron. I'm tired of my team losing to LeBron. That's where it comes from. It's not that anyone doubts his impact or his greatness. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.